the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus proposed another parable to the crowd, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a man who sowed good seed in his field. While everyone was asleep, his enemy came and sowed weeds all through the wheat, and then went off. When the crop grew and bore fruit, the weeds appeared as well. The slaves of the householder came to him and said, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where have the weeds come from?' He answered, 'An enemy has done this.' His slave said to him, 'Do you want us to go and pull them up?' He replied, 'No. If you pull up the weeds, you might uproot the wheat along with them. Let them grow together until harvest. Then at harvest time, I will say to the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles for burning, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So if you're the kind of person that's inclined to keep track of such things, you'll notice that both last week and this week, there were both long forms and short forms of the gospel. And for both weeks, we opted to do the short form. And there's a couple of reasons for that, I guess. One is that the long form is long. But also, you know, sometimes maybe it's too much. The long form of today's gospel actually contains three parables. The one that we just heard about the weeds and the wheat, the one about the mustard tree and the mustard seed, and then the parable about the leaven or the yeast. And I think for one day, one is enough for us to look at. Now, especially because I think for those of us, as many of us have, who have heard these parables many times, perhaps even beginning as a child, we tend to shut down when we hear it, thinking, well, I know that story. I don't need to really listen. And miss, perhaps, a deeper meaning that a rehearing of the parable might be able to tell us. We kind of become like teenagers. You know what it's like when you try to tell something to a teenager. Yeah. We could easily become like that. So let me ask you a question. I guess a rhetorical question. I don't necessarily expect an answer. But why did Jesus preach in parables? Let me throw out an answer and you tell me if you would probably agree. I think most people would. And that is, parables are simple stories that ordinary people can understand. They take examples, common examples from everyday life, so that even the simplest person could grasp its meaning and the teaching would be as clear as possible. Sound reasonable? Sound like what parables are about? Well, yes and no. I mean, not really. Parables are not just simple stories whose meanings are clear and obvious to everyone. In fact, if you look at last week's gospel in the long form, you'll notice that Jesus' own disciples asked him a question. They say, "Lord, why do you teach in parables?" You know, that's kind of an odd question, don't you think? You know, why do you teach in parables? You know, parables are simple, easy to understand stories. What's Jesus going to say? Well, I like to teach in simple, easy to understand stories. But that's not what he says to them. Right? In fact, what he does say is the exact opposite of simple. He says, "To you, it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, that's not. Who are you Who are the then, and what exactly are these secrets? Well, to help clarify this point, I think we need to be aware that that word parable, first and foremost, comes from a Greek word, basically parable. It sounds like parable, right? But that's not the word that Jesus and his disciples would have been familiar with. They would have been familiar with the Greek or Aramaic version of that word, which is mashal. Now, mashal in Aramaic means riddle. Now, think of the disciples asking that same question. All of a sudden, it makes sense to hear them say, "Lord, why do you speak in riddles?" You see, the stories of Jesus aren't just simple stories. They're also riddles. And Jesus tells them then that the reason he speaks in riddles is twofold. In one sense, it is to reveal, yet in another, it is to conceal the secrets of the kingdom. The parables, the riddles, are a revelation for those whose hearts are open to their message. But they also conceal the secrets of the kingdom to those whose hearts are closed, those who are hardened of heart. So the parables, in a certain sense, are a paradox. They are a riddle for which you need the grace of an open heart to understand, to be able to begin to unlock its deeper meaning. Okay, so now that we know we are dealing with not just a story, we're dealing with a riddle, we must look for something unusual going on in the parable and find the riddle. I know I've said to you in the past, almost always, the parables of Jesus contain a twist. Someone says or does something unexpected. They say or they do something that no one would ever do. And when you find the twist, it is then they begin to unlock the deeper mystery of the riddle. Last week, for example, just to remind you, we heard about the sower who sowed seed. And he sowed them everywhere. He sowed them on good soil and bad soil and on rocky soil and on rocky ground. It's like you going to Lowe's and buying a bag of seed and on your way home rolling down your car window and throwing some on 441. You don't do that. You don't pull into your driveway and throw some seed on your driveway. There's the twist. There's the riddle in the parable. You were here last week, Father Sebastian unlocked the deeper meaning of that riddle for us. How about today, in today's parable? A sower planted good wheat seeds in a field. A very common thing to do, not just then, but even today. From wheat, you get bread, you get a staple food commodity. But it's found that there are also weeds in the field. And it's been determined that at night, an enemy snuck in and he planted those weeds. Okay. What does a normal gardener do when he or she finds weeds in their garden? You pull them out. You go and you weed the garden. But now, here comes the riddle. To tease our minds and to get us thinking about the deeper mysteries of the kingdom of God that lie hidden in the parable. What does Jesus say that the field owner told his servants, his slaves, or whatever to do? Does he tell them, yeah, quick, go out there and get the weeds out, go weed the field? No. He says, leave the weeds alone. Let them grow with the wheat. He says that in the end, he'll take care of the weeds. Does that make sense? What happens to a garden if you don't weed it? What happens? Weeds take over. Very often, the weeds would go and choke out and kill the good plants. See, you would expect the parable to say that the kingdom of God is like this beautiful, gorgeous field of golden wheat. That's what you'd expect. But that's not what the parable says the kingdom of God is like. The parable says the kingdom of God is like a garden that's been neglected. It looks like a garden that's been overrun with weeds. It's not a pretty sight. But Jesus is warning the disciples, don't get upset when you see this. Because we know Jesus is not talking about farming. Right? He's talking about the mystery of sin and righteousness, living side by side, sorted out only in the final judgment. Until then, God in his mysterious providence allows both the good and the evil to stand, even to flourish side by side. The kingdom of God is indeed a mysterious kingdom. Tell me, do you think that we live in confusing times today in the world? If not outright scary times? Do you ever find yourself getting angry and saying to yourself, why doesn't God do something about this situation? Yeah? I hear that a lot. I even perhaps say that a lot myself. But it's important to remember this parable, that when we encounter sin and evil in the world, when we encounter scandal, even perhaps in the church, or among those we thought were our friends only turned out to betray us, Jesus would say, why are you surprised? I prepared you for this. I told you this would be the case. He said, I told you that there would be good and bad, saints and sinners, all mixed together until the very end. The Catechism of the Catholic Church picks up on this idea. It says, interestingly, that the Church is at once holy and always in need of purification. Again, paradox. The Church is holy, yet it's always, always in need of purification. It takes this line of thinking a step further and brings you, me, individually into the picture. It goes on to say, in everyone, the weeds of sin will be mixed with the good wheat of the gospel until the end of time. At our particular judgment, the wheat and the weeds that have been growing in us will be separated out. So what we're talking about here is not just the state of the world or the state of the church. It's about the state of our own soul. In this life on earth, what we poetically say when we say the rosary, this veil of tears, right? There's always a battle raging within us
between good and evil. The struggle that we face on a daily basis to live a life of holiness while the weeds of sin encroach upon our garden. We need to be ever vigilant, ever aware that this battle rages not in the world, but right here in our hearts. God is just, and Jesus assures us that in the end, the evildoers will be thrown into the fiery furnace. But until then, God waits patiently. What was the theme of our psalm today? God is merciful. God is patient. God is slow to anger and abounding in kindness. And so God waits. Because what God wants before anything else is repentance. He wants us to come to grips with the evil that weeds in us and turn to Him and be healed. You know, there's a great inner peace that comes when one realizes that you are not in control of the events of the world. You are not in control over the events in the church. You are not even in control over the person sitting next to you in the pew. It's only one person that you have any control over. And that person is yourself. You have control over yourself. So what do? We have a choice before us. We can spend our energy getting angry about the sin that we see in the world, or we can spend our energy on becoming holy, about eliminating sin in our own life. Anger only leads to more anger and division. Holiness leads to peace, and it leads to unity. Plus, you get to become a saint in the process. So let's not lose heart when we see weeds among the wheat. Truth and holiness mixed with error and sin. Jesus told us as much. Fix it, but fix it in the only place where you have the power to fix it, in your own life. But harvest time draws near. So right now, today, above all else, focus on your own personal holiness so that when the end comes, you can be gathered with the wheat and not the wheat.